Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. So I'm going to build a bit on what was shared last week. What Vian shared. We are going to continue in 1 Timothy 4. Today we will discuss 1 Timothy 4 from verse 11 to 13. And just for those who haven't been here last week, I'm going to give us a brief just overview of what we are building upon. And also during the sermon, I'll maybe refer a bit back. But today's theme is basically qualities of a good servant. So how to be a good servant and the qualities thereof. Vian shared last week a lot about how proclaiming the truth and how sharing the good news that you have received with others will help you to grow. And that is it's basically a non-negotiable, actually. It is so important to share the truth with others. And maybe just to reflect, that was one of the key reflections last week, is are we sharing the good news with other people? Something that Vian also mentioned is that if we struggle to share this good news, then maybe you haven't received the good news in your heart. Amen. Because if it's good news, you want to share it. Amen. And that is part of our growth in Christ. It spoke of how bodily training is of some value, but godliness and following godliness, growing in godliness is of value in every way. Amen. It's valuable in this life and also the life to come. Amen. So therefore today we'll jump a bit into the practicalities. You know, we want to grow in godliness. But how does it really look like? You know, can we just take a grip on that? Is there something practical that I can know? How can I grow? How should I grow? And we're going to look. We also used that little bit of an example of going to gym. If we want to grow in our godliness, let's say we want to grow in being more muscular, we're going to the gym. Amen. And when we want to grow in godliness, we need to go to the gym. Amen. We need to grow, and we need to be specific on how we grow. What plan am I going to follow? Now, what areas do I need growth? So what we will do today is we will shine a light on some practical areas in our lives. And I want to encourage you from the start, if there's something that comes up into your heart, maybe there's something that you can agree with. Maybe there's some sin in your life that is really, you're really struggling with it. I want you to write it down. We are going to spend some time at the end to pray for one another. And I want you to spend time this week also to reflect on these things. Again, the big and great reason is the sin, let's say we take a very simple example of let's say gossip. Let's say we struggle with gossiping. The problem is not gossiping. The problem is much deeper. Amen. There's a reason why we are gossiping. Okay, and it's really important to ask the Lord, why am I doing these things? And why am I struggling with gossiping? Amen. So when we shine light on those practical things, I want you to take note of that. Don't pass those things. When there's something that I mention in this practical sermon, I want you to take note of that. Okay, and ask the Lord, why am I busy with these things? That's how we grow. Amen. That's how we build character. Our growth does not lie into knowing more, into doing more Bible schools and more reading more type of materials, but really to share the knowledge that we have. Obviously, it is also to read scripture and equip ourselves, but it is to share those that knowledge that you have. There was a story of William Carey. He's called the father of missions. I don't know why he's called that exactly, but he was a great missionary. And he was a shoe cobbler by trade. And someone one day went into his shop while he was busy with his shoes. And I think at that stage, as far as I understand the story, he was busy praying for someone. He was busy ministering to someone. And this person waited and waited and waited. And at some stage he was like, listen, I really see that you like sharing the gospel and praying for people, but you're really neglecting your business. And the guy said, my business is to extend God's kingdom. The shoe industry or the shoe cobbling or whatever, it's just paying some bills. And that is a mentality that I think is important. And it's something maybe to reflect upon. Is your main business to extend God's kingdom, or is it to pay the bills? And you understand what I mean, eh? It's really important that when we think of life, that we think of eternal perspective, okay? And we think of how can I extend God's kingdom? And we're gonna focus a lot on that today. We saw in this in the start of Jan's sermon, verse 6, it started off with, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, having nourished yourself on the words of the faith and the good teaching. And then it had a lot of examples. But it said, you will be a good servant if you do these things. I'm going to focus on these things again. I'm quickly going to run through it again on what Vian shared. But I want you to take in that position when listening, to really wanting to be a good servant. Amen. Do you really want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ? No? Because if we read the Bible, we see that there's in some sense a way that we should live. Amen. Also, just want to give us, just throw back a few sermons back when we started with 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy gave us some main themes. Now, when we work through the whole book of 1 and 2 Timothy, there's main themes that we addressed in the beginning. And those were, they really stress sound doctrine. Okay, which is important that we focus on sound doctrine. The secondly is, these books share much light on church administration. Things like elders and deacons and women in ministry and all those things. And then also, they demand consecrated living. Okay, and that is something that we will focus on today. Is how should it look like when I really believe in the gospel? Okay, asking the question, can someone be doctrinally sound but corrupt in practice? And the answer is no. Okay, we cannot do that. If we believe something, there's some outflow of that thing. And that's why when I'm saying when we share light on a sin, let's say gossip for instance, there's a root behind the sin. And that's why we're asking God, why am I gossiping? Because a good root or a good tree will bear good fruit. Okay, and if there's something wrong with the fruit, there's something wrong with the root. Okay, and we want to take hold of that root, and we want to pluck it out of the ground. Amen. And we want to make sure that we grow good fruit by believing correctly and just surrendering our life more to Jesus. Amen. Okay. So it asks the simple question, do I look like someone that follows Jesus? Do you look like someone that follows Jesus? Okay. And I really want you to dig deep when we bring these things to the light. Okay, if there's something that you think, well, this is maybe it's important for me, I'm struggling with a sin, write it down. Okay, we need to pray through it. Okay, otherwise we just walk in here and we walk out here. It goes in with this, yeah, and it goes out with that, yeah, and we still struggle with that thing 10 years down the road. Okay, we want to pray for one another. That's what James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Awesome. So let's dive into scripture and let's get to the good stuff. 1 Timothy 4 from verse 11. You can read with me. It says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Really simple. It's only those three words. It's not that straightforward, though. You're gonna see it's quite full. It's full of good things, but it's short. It's short verses. So I just want to read it to us again. Let's see what we can learn just from reading. So firstly, it says, command and teach these things. I'll go through it again. It's what Vian said last week. We'll just run over it quickly. Then it says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Okay. So let's dive in. So that first word, command, it is actually quite a military term. It is it's almost a call to order. Yeah? We should order people to be obedient to Christ. So what that means is we as disciples of Jesus, teaching others, should we have an authority to command people to be obedient. And in some sense, not bash them with the Bible and force them, but really to love them and exhort them to be obedient to Christ. Now, we as spiritual leaders are called to pass down this instructions with authority. So what does these things means, because it says command and teach, and then it goes to these things. So I just want to quickly revise on what was said last week. This is the verses just before. It's referring to the five verses before, and it focuses on five main points. It says we should point out these things to our brothers, which means we should warn our brothers. That's verse 6. By pointing out such things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Then it says, having nourished yourselves on the words of the faith, which means we should nourish ourselves with the word. Amen. Then it says, and of the good teaching that you have followed, which also means that we should follow these good things. That's verse 6. Having nourished yourselves on the words of the faith and of the good things that you have followed. The next thing is we should reject myths fit only for godless and gullible. And lastly, we should train ourselves for godliness. So point out these things, which means we should warn our brothers and sisters. We can also see from these verses how important community is. Amen. And so important to disciple others. We cannot be, there's no difference between a disciple and a disciple maker. There's just one thing, a disciple maker. Okay, so you cannot be a disciple of Jesus and not make disciples. That's what a disciple does. Okay, really important. When you follow Jesus and you love him, you are a disciple. Okay, and you've signed up for discipling others. Okay, so first thing, warn our brothers and sisters. Point out these things. Secondly, you should nourish yourself with the word and follow the word. Okay, those two things. Reject myths. And train yourself in godliness because it has value in every way. Okay, that are the things that verse 11 refers to. So our first point of tonight is to teach with authority. So the first verse is command and teach these things. We've now established what these things are. Now we're going to focus on commanding and teaching. And I just want to give us a few pointers. What is good to remember when we teach others? Okay, and this is maybe important to maybe write down, but I want to give you the danger. John MacArthur says the following, and I'm going to read it to us quickly. It says that Paul's command to Timothy contrasts sharply with much contemporary preaching. Preaching in our day is often intriguing, but seldom commanding. Often entertaining, but seldom convicting. Often popular, but seldom powerful. Often interesting, but less often transforming. Paul does not ask Timothy to share or make suggestions to his congregation, but rather he is to prescribe the truth to them. Okay, that is very well said. Now, it's really important that we remember that there's, we'll see in the end, we'll read it again, that we don't like to hear that we are wrong, that we are sinful, that we need to repent. But it's such a graceful thing. It's an opportunity to make right with God. It's an opportunity to set back and to be healed. I mean, we shouldn't see it as a big burden. And 2 Timothy also says, we'll read the verse later, but it says that there will be people gathering teachers for themselves because they don't like to hear the good stuff, man, the straight stuff. They don't like to hear the truth of the Word of God. Okay, and that is important. It's something that we need to be attentive to. So the first point that I just would like to make under teaching with authority, that's important that we remember when we teach with authority, is we as teachers must have the conviction that the Word of God is without error and that it is God's inspired Word. Okay, this may sound, yeah, obviously, but it is really important that we share and teach from knowing that the truth is from God. Now, that the Word of God is the truth. Now, if we doubt and if we are unsure, we need to deal with that uncertainty. Amen. We need to ask God, how does it look like? If you're unsure about something in the Word of God, it's important that you do Bible study, get into community, ask those questions, sort it out so that you can teach with authority. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it says, every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work. The Bible has everything in it. Okay, and we will teach with authority when we believe that it is a true word of God. Secondly, teachers must properly interpret scripture. Okay, and this is a big topic. Okay, we can spend a lot of time on this. But I think what is important, if I can say something that's important, is to really be teachable to what the word is saying. Okay, not trying to teach the word something, but let the word teach me. And if there's a feeling inside of you that's maybe discomfortable, repent of it. It's probably showing to some sin in our lives that we need to repent to, okay? So when we interpret scripture, it's important to really make sure that we do decent study. And also, if you are unsure about whether you are correctly interpreting, speak to someone. Now, once again, get into community. Okay, thirdly, teachers must understand that we are called to please God and not men. So when you are speaking to people, really important, it's really sad. The modern world is focused on people pleasing, pleasing people. We cannot be scared of sharing the truth. When we really love people, we will do what the Word of God says. It's the most loving thing we can do is to share them the truth of God. Okay, we need to please God. And lastly, teachers must bear fruit and serve others out of a relationship with Jesus. Teachers must bear fruit. It's almost like telling my daughter, you know, she shouldn't throw her clothes on the floor, but that's what I do. You know, she will continue doing it because she sees what daddy does. And it's important that we as teachers set an example. And that is the focus of today's sermon. We saw Paul encouraging Timothy to be an example. Don't let people despise you of your youth, but set an example. We need to set an example. And it's not a try harder thing. You know, tomorrow I'll be better and I'll set an example in this way. But it's a surrendering more to Jesus. Listen to this beautiful verse. It says it so beautifully, John 15 verse 5. It just says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. It doesn't say maybe you'll produce some fruit. No, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. John 15 verse 5. There's no catch, no funny thing. If you really love God and you abide in him, you will bear fruit. And if there's sin in your life, as we are going to go deep now, it's not a try harder thing. It's abiding Jesus more. Okay, and asking him, why am I sinning? What is in my heart? Why is this coming out? Okay, so let's dive into the practicalities. So our second point for tonight is to be models of godliness, setting an example. And verse 12 says the following. It says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So just to start off by addressing the first part, let no one despise you for your youth. Why did Paul say that? Okay, it was because Timothy was a younger person. Okay, there's no funny reason. He was just younger, and Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep on doing the right things, even though he is young. He was also a timid guy. He was a bit of a shy guy. So he was, maybe it was difficult for him, you know, speaking to all these elder people. They probably saying, what can this young guy learn me? He cannot teach me much. And he needed to deal with these things. So Paul is just here encouraging Timothy to say that don't let them despise you of your youth, but set them an example, because this will quiet the mouths of those who are doubting whether you have a good character. And it is so important. Otherwise, why is godliness important? And why is it important to set an example? Because otherwise we are hypocrites. Amen? Otherwise we are teaching things to people and we are not literally not doing it ourselves. Therefore, being an example is one of the first ways to teach. But not the only way. That's important. Have to use words as well. Okay, so let's dive into the first one. The first one says, but set the believers an example in speech. Wow, okay, that's interesting. What is speech? It is the way that we say things. And I want you to maybe reflect a bit. When you speak, literally when you open your mouth, even maybe think when you are at home, between family, maybe in the workplace, when things get a bit stressful. How is your speech? How are you saying things? And I'm going to use a few examples. I want to use the example of gossip. Now, are you gossiping? Gossiping is a sin. Now, why are you gossiping if that is the case? Are you swearing? Oh, it's difficult. Are you swearing? Why are you swearing? There needs to be something in me that feels like this person needs to hear me and I need to swear. There's something in my heart that's the issue, not the swearing. We don't want to eat all the fruit from the trees. We want to sort out the root from what is going on. Then are you negative? This is a difficult one. Negative in South Africa, it's a thing that just comes naturally. Why are you negative? If we see that all our hope and all the good things are in Jesus Christ and in the eternal life, it says we should gather for ourselves treasures in heaven, then why are we negative about something like South Africa or the roads? There's a heart issue. Are you negative? How is your speech? Another thing is, if you're speaking all the time and not listening well, I think there's a good reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. It's because we need to listen. If we are not listening to people, we cannot understand their hearts. You can just sit still in a room and listen to people and you can have a good idea what's going on in someone's heart. Are you speaking all the time? Maybe all negativity going on a tangent? Or are you listening well to those around you? Listening well, you can learn a lot. It's a fruit of teachability if you listen rather than speaking. Okay. Just some things to reflect upon, and I want you to note those things. If you can think of something else, that's great. We don't have time to have a massive list, but let's do that. Lastly also, the manner in which we speak. I can say to my wife, I love you. And I can say to my wife, yeah, I love you. It's the same words, but it's said differently. It says something of my heart. We can literally by just sitting in a room, when someone enters the room, by just listening to what noises someone makes, or the way in which they portray themselves when someone else enters the room, I can see what's happening in their hearts. How are you portraying yourself? Or the manner in which you speak, even the sounds that you are making. It says something of our hearts. We can skip over these things. Sometimes we might find ourselves saying something really, really stupid. And you're like, why did I say that? Go and do some self-reflection. Why did you say that? Okay. Proverbs 15 verse 1, it says something beautiful. It says a gentle response turns away anger, but a harsh word, stirs up wrath. A gentle response turns away anger. Our manner in which we speak is just as important. How do we portray ourselves? And it also ties into our next little point here. The next one we should be an example in is in conduct. In speech and then in conduct. So conduct refers to our lifestyle. Our lifestyle in our behavior. How do we behave ourselves at work when we have difficult decisions to make? How do we treat our money? How do we treat our families, our wives and our husbands? How do we treat our kids? How do we treat family members that's just not treating you right? How are we treating them? That's the difficult things. But that's the things that matter. If you have just feel to share, if there's a family member that you need to set things right with, please do that. Go and have the discussion. It's really important. God wants to restore those relationships. Your personal appearance at work, entertainment, what is your hobbies? How do you portray yourselves when you are busy with your hobbies? Are you the same person at church than at work or at home? If not, I want you to identify areas in which you are not. Okay. It's difficult. We are diving deep. And God wants to restore us. He wants to heal us completely. We can skip over these things and nothing will happen. But God can come and heal in a second. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, so whether you drink or eat, whatever you do, do everything to glorify God. whether you eat or drink. I didn't even know you can eat in a manner that can glorify God, but you can. It's how we portray ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. If people look at you, are they saying, wow, this is someone that loves Jesus? And is that the case? Amen. And if not, in what areas is it not the case? Okay. Thirdly, in love. Okay. So in love is a a really big topic. We can stop today and we can carry on next week and just have a sermon on love. But it's so important. I'm just going to share us the short version of what is important, how to be an example in love. And it is to ask ourselves, or just give the definition. The definition of love is a self-sacrificing service. It doesn't matter how you feel, but it stays a self-sacrificing service. Something that comes to mind always when I think of really loving someone, when someone asks me to move their house from one place to another, it doesn't benefit me anything. You know, it's a self-sacrificing service. I need to go there, carry a bunch of washing machines, go back, carry it again. And it always, it reflects something of our hearts. And to ask, do we really love our brothers and sisters? Do we really love them? It's not that easy to truly love them. And if there's areas in which you struggle to love people, ask God that He helps you, and pray with someone and identify those areas and ask, why? Why am I struggling? We say good ministers should sacrifice their time and their money and their efforts easily, because it's this temporary world. It's going to burn in anyways. That should be our hearts. We should have our minds focused on people, which is eternal, and Jesus, which is eternal, to the eternal life. Are you modeling love in your daily conduct? Fourthly, in faith. And I think faith, well, let's start with a basic faith. Just a basic faith. Are you modeling faith to people around you? It's not that easy. When we have problems in life, normally what we do is we try to sort it out. And we worry a bit, and we try harder to sort it out. Why not just pray about it and ask God, God, help me with this thing. I give this in your hands, and I trust you. And then obviously, He will guide you to do certain things. I'm not saying do nothing. But is that the first thing that you are doing? Are you an example to your friends in the faith? We call ourselves Christian, but sometimes I feel that we really need some faith. Amen. What goes also with this faith is faithfulness. Are you faithful? Is your yes, and your no? If you say yes to someone, are you really saying yes because that's something you'll do, or you're just saying yes, I'll do it and hope that they forget it? We should model faith and faithfulness to those around us. And lastly, in purity. Okay, also not an easy one. I think Paul also gave this one, because in Ephesus there was a lot of ungodly things going on. There was a temple that had a lot of prostitutes, and I just think in the church in general, purity was very difficult. But something that I want to say of purity is that purity starts in your thoughts. When purity manifests in something physical or anything that you are actually doing, it has been past that thought path far. And we struggle to deal with it when it started in our thoughts and in our hearts. So actually what I want to ask you is, how are you doing with your thought life when dealing with purity? Jesus says that if you look at a woman with lust, you're already committing adultery. That's a tall order. But I want to ask you, how is it going in your thought life? Do you have an accountability partner to which you share these things? Because if we keep it in the dark, that's nice. That's where the enemy wants us to keep it. That's what Satan likes. He likes it when we keep stuff in the dark. But when we bring it to the light, when we confess our sins and pray with one another, that's when we receive healing. That's what James says. Really important. Not that easy. But do you have an accountability that keeps you accountable in your purity? Are you modeling purity? Okay. That is our done with our second point. So our last point is verse 13. And it says the following. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. And we started off a bit, focusing a bit on teaching. So we're going to be brief. But there's two things that Paul wants us to note here. It says, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. Really encouraging Timothy, who is this timid and shy guy, that he shouldn't stop reading Scripture and exhorting people. That is something that he should continue doing. And he said this because this is common for us as well. When life gets busy, when life gets difficult, what's the first thing we neglect? Reading Scripture, spending time with God. He's exhorting us. Spend time with God. Like John 15 says, abide in me. Then you will bear much fruit. There's nothing else you can do to bear fruit. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason also why he said public reading in those days, they were illiterate and not everyone had Bibles, so they were reading it out loud. They were reading a verse and explaining it and preaching it and reading a verse. Basically what we are doing today. That's what they did. And he's just encouraging him to keep on doing these things, exposing truths from the text. And really warning him also against that just moving away from sound doctrine. Today we get this topical preaching, which is also good, but it can often miss what Scripture wants to teach us. We can preach about something like God's love, and we can only say all the good things, but when it comes to what do I need to do, what do I need to repent of, we often neglect to share those things. The Bible is there to nourish us, is there to feed us. Eh? And if we neglect to share the truth with people, it leaves us malnourished. Eh? It leaves us empty. It leaves Christians without a depth in their faith. Amen. And therefore, it's important to go deep, eh? To deal with those things that are difficult to deal with. Okay. And then secondly, so on the one side, Paul is addressing preaching. But on the other side, just as important, he's also addressing listening. Okay, this can't be only for preachers. This is also for those who listen. And I want to encourage you, are you someone that listens well to when the Word of God is shared? Yeah, it's not that easy to do. And I want to read us that scripture from 2 Timothy because this is the warning. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. It's not on the board. Sorry, but I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen. Listen well. But it says, preach the message. Be ready whether it is convenient or not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and instruction. For there will be a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. And there will be a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. Instead, following their own desires, they will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an insatiable curiosity to hear new things, and they will turn away from hearing the truth, but on the other hand, they will turn aside to myths. And it is so easy today to fall into that trap. Now we have Facebook, we have YouTube, we have guys that are really good, and they say good things. But if it neglects to show to our hearts that we will miss the point, it will leave us malnourished without a depth in our faith. Sound preaching is often thrown away and thrown to the side as being boring, and irrelevant. You know, that doesn't really apply to me. It's because we don't like that it applies to us. And I want to ask you today, are you listening with a heart to take in? Because there will always be someone that wants to learn you something or teach you something that you don't like as well, né? And then we also tend to not listen that well. Okay, so whoever's speaking, whoever's preaching, whoever's saying, even if it's you, are you open to what the Word of God wants to come and do in your heart? Amen. I want to read us this one verse that basically sums up this whole sermon. It says, it's from James 1 verse 19. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And when we say being slow to anger, quick to hear, slow to speak, it's when we receive the word of God. It's the same context. When we hear the word of God, often we are quick to say, "Whoa, you know, I don't like this. This shows at my heart. I don't want to deal with this now." I'm quick to anger in a sense. I'm quick to speak. I want to say a lot of things. I want to justify myself. This is what James is saying. When you hear the word of God, be slow to speak. Listen well. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Because this is able to save your souls. And how does that look like for you? How are you listening when people are preaching? Maybe it's even people that you don't like. When you hear something, even if it's your boss or whatever it may be. But are you open to what God wants to come and do in our hearts? Maybe you feel today you've done a lot. You've done a lot for God. Maybe you feel even burnt out. Maybe you feel like you just want to stop. And maybe on the other side, you feel like, "I don't have a lot of gifts. I shouldn't share a lot. I shouldn't teach anyone anything. There's a lot of people that can do it anyways." There's two sides of the scale that is unhealthy. Okay, and there's a side on the scale which is healthy, and it is to bring your gift in the sense where God wants you to bring it. If you love Jesus, you are in ministry. Amen. And whether you received 5 talents or 1 talent, do not bury it in the ground. But ask God, "How does it look like for me to bring my gift? How does it look like for me to minister to others? Because it is required of you in some sense or another." Maybe not full time in ministry, but maybe it is by just saying a good word to someone at work. And however it looks like, we want to call you to obedience. I want to really encourage you to do that. So I want to just throw up the last few points, which is our prayer points. Maybe we'd just like to speak through them. And then I want to pray for us. And then I would like you to just turn to someone and just pray through these things. If you feel like you're struggling to share these things, I want you to write it down. Even if you have to come to the front, come to me. But deal with this. Do not go with this undealt. Okay, so the first prayer point is there a desire in you to teach others the Word of God? Secondly, does your walk align with your talk? And that second point is quite a heavy point. There's a lot of things we discussed. Now, we said in conduct, we said in speech, we said in love, in faith, in purity. There's a lot of things in which our walk should be our talk, and what we believe. If our walk is not what we believe, there's something missing in between, and there's some roots that we need to deal with. And lastly, are you open to also receive the word of the Lord? Or is it sometimes difficult for you to listen to people and receive what God wants to do in our lives?